Generosity, Luke 14 is what we're going to look at this morning. And this is our final Bible project, Bible study, group Bible study we've been doing the past couple of weeks as we prepare for our great celebration next weekend. And we look forward to seeing many of you there on Saturday night, and then also for a very special Sunday worship next Sunday with all the previous pastors that will be attending. And it's going to be just phenomenal. Luke 14, starting in verse 16, I'll go ahead and read that for us. But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' Another said, 'I have 5 yokes of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.'" And we'll stop there, although, of course, the story goes further. Often, this passage we use as a proof text for sharing your faith. And I just shared an example about Alpha inviting them, so it's all good. It's legit. It's important. But I'm afraid that often when we use a passage like this solely to urge people to go out and invite people and do evangelism, we're missing often the bigger picture of the event itself and the event reflecting the heart of a host who has opened up his entire life, his generosity, to which we are encouraged to invite many. Today, as we think about generosity, and I don't think I could do much better than what we just saw on the video for the teaching on generosity. It's a lot more than just talking about money and sharing your wealth. I think a lot of us, we hear this, oh my gosh, Pastor Peter's going to talk about the importance of giving offering and supporting the budget and the vision, mission. Well, that's certainly an application. But in the same way, when we look at Luke 14, and we often think about, oh, we got to invite everyone to do this, this is our duty. Let's not lose the heart behind why this event is taking place. And it leads us to our first point, that God is a generous host who created a world of abundance. And that's what we just heard in the teaching video. He's a generous host opening up his heart, his riches, his wealth, his love when he created the world. When you read through the first few chapters of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, there you see it for us. God creating the heavens and earth and bringing order to the chaos and creating a world full of life and abundance. He didn't skimp out. He wasn't a cheapskate. He wasn't counting pennies. He poured out everything in creation, just as this picture from Bible Project shows us. And please don't, parents, send me letters. That was an inappropriate picture. Oh my goodness, where are their clothes? This is just the Bible, and this is our world, and this is a picture of the abundance that God has imbued in creation itself. But somehow we have lost this picture of God and his heart and his plan and his generosity has literally shrunk before our eyes. But we lose this picture. We lose so much of the gospel. James 1:17 says this, that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. I, like many of you, were disappointed that the Artemis launch was canceled twice. Now we gotta wait a few more weeks. How awesome it would be once again to revisit the moon and just to explore the vastness of this created universe. What kind of God is this that creates such vastness, and when it comes to our world, such life and beauty and abundance? We are God's image bearers. We are to represent God as we serve this world that didn't skimp out and was not cheapened, but really represents the overflowing goodness and life and power of our God, our Creator. The universe in our world, as we just heard, is packed, chock full, filled to the brim, overflowing of opportunity, of gifts, of resources, and potential. And though in our rebellion against God that we find in Genesis 3 that has, yes, damaged our world, and yet that potential, that abundance is still there. And in preparation and studying this theme of generosity, I came across this. If I can cultivate the mindset, Tim Mackey shares this, that I'm being hosted by a generous Creator in my day-to-day life, that will free me into whole new levels of life experience that I haven't experienced before. We read creation. We say, okay, Pastor, that was great. Eden, wow, I wish I could have seen it, been there. But this is our world, and we live in a world that is marked by scarcity. And that's my second point based upon this video. Scarcity is the result. It's a mindset, and it's a lifestyle, and it's the way in which we make decisions day to day that result when we reject God's hospitality, when we reject God's gracious hosting of us, when we don't believe there's enough in this world, when we don't believe there's enough for my life to find fulfillment and joy, for my family, for my children, for my grandchildren, what we do is we create our own tree of life. We create our own Eden because we want security. We want to seek after the security that comes from abundance. But since when we look out at the world, all we see is the lack thereof of everything, it's scarcity versus generosity. It impacts our day-to-day life because our thought processes and the way in which we live out our lives day-to-day reflect that fear, that anxiety. Living by scarcity does not create true life. It creates mistrust, brokenness, untrusting relationships, pain, and eventually death. It was just a short while ago that once again my kids are saying those famous words, "Dad, I'm hungry." All right, Chick-fil-A it is. And so we go to Chick-fil-A. I was feeling especially generous. Order whatever you want, whatever you want. And so they ordered a lot, a lot. It's amazing how much even a second grader can eat, more than adults. My little James, amazing. Order whatever you want. And so there was so much food that I had trouble receiving it through the drive-thru window. And when we got home, as they spread out this bountiful Chick-fil-A feast on the kitchen table, they looked at one another, They looked at the food. One of my kids said, "That's not fair." I said, "What's not fair?" "Jonathan's French fry is bigger than mine," pointing to an extra large potato, fried potato. And instantly my youngest son became infuriated and wanted at least half of that slice straight down the middle so that he would not be cheated out. And finally forcing my oldest son to do that, with a begrudging spirit, they began to stuff down Chick-fil-A into their pie holes. That is so I'm at a loss for words. There you have an overflowing, bountiful, Thanksgiving-like feast of fried, unhealthy, salty chicken. Lots of cholesterol. He'll probably kill you if you eat too much of it. But here's this bountiful feast. And because one French fry was bigger than the other, one of my children immediately went into a scarcity mindset. "That's not fair. I don't have enough French fries. Why is his French fry bigger than mine?" And it changed everything. His vision, his outlook, and could not even enjoy the meal when there was a feast on that table for them. You and I are just like that. We develop a scarcity mindset when we pick and choose how we evaluate the goodness of God because our circumstances, our lack thereof, of particular things in our lives. And we write off God, his great plan of the kingdom, and we say, "Scarcity, I gotta grab what I can get. Everyone is competition. I gotta store up everything for my safety, security, my family's happiness." We have an obsession with self-preservation when times of often self-imposed crisis comes upon our lives. We forget that God is our Father, he is our Creator. And it goes back to the garden when Satan saw this beautiful abundance. They had a Chick-fil-A-sized garden of every kind of goodness you could imagine in Eden. The world was at their doorstep. And yet, the serpent approached the woman, and consequently Adam. Did God really say you can't eat from any of these trees? And the thought gets planted. Maybe God is holding back on me. So because of that, I got to take matters into my own hands. And it's not just Adam and Eve, but all of us have that choice to make. Do we believe that the picture of God and his kingdom and the life that he invites us into is one where he's holding back on us? Because if we do not trust in the heart and character of God, that he is a gracious, generous host for us in our lives, we will develop a scarcity mindset that sees everyone as competition. When there's so much abundance in this world, we develop a scarcity mentality, and it impacts everything that we say and do. The Bible Project says this: Genesis shows humanity's propensity to mistrust the generous host. We want to protect ourselves, and we think we have the best strategy for how to do that. Unfortunately, for our self-protection leads us to shame, broken relationships, and violence. The human problem not just back in Eden, but even you and I today, in our society, in our world, is that we do not trust our generous host, which is God, our Father. That is the fundamental test and challenge we have every day when we wake up, when God gives us another day of life. Do we trust in this generous host that is imbued into this world and life, whether it was in the time of creation or in our modern present day? It does not mean that life is an easy walk. It does not mean that we will experience heartbreak and poverty and sickness and betrayal and wounding. But in the midst of those challenges of life, do we really understand and trust God as our generous host in the days of our lives that we live? Don't trust them. You develop a mindset of scarcity. And you can be a fully devoted follower of Christ and forget that truth and live by a scarcity mindset. I believe, as we have heard, that the gospel, thirdly, is the answer to our battle with scarcity. And it's not just the cross itself, which we will get to and which we saw in the video, but I was challenged by, listen to how Jesus modeled as a human being, yes, the divine Son of God, yes, but as a fully human person, how did he model, how did he live, and how did he teach in this understanding of God the Father as a generous host? And just as we saw in the video, Luke 12, just a few verses of it, Jesus says, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, the body more than clothing. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? Look at the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, and you know the rest. Is Jesus advocating for all of us to become flower children and frolic in the fields like Jesus hippies? Is this what he's talking about here? Absolutely not. He is talking about his Father's kingdom and a generous host that we can trust and that we can love and live out our lives fully dependent on him. Jesus articulated a mindset that takes us back to Genesis 1 and 2. A conception and understanding, a reality of a world and universe where God is a gracious host and he has given us an overabundance of life and gifts and resources and potential to enjoy, to represent him. And let the rest of the world know that they don't have to fall into a scarcity mindset, that God is a generous gift giver. And this does not mean, and please don't send me emails, see, you're preaching a prosperity gospel. Does it mean we're all going to be millionaires? No. Look at Jesus and the disciples. They lived with financial poverty, and yet the reality of God as a generous host transformed their lives. Jesus believed that his Father was a generous host. And that's what he's referring to when he gives us teaching and the way that he modeled. The Bible Project reminds us this. Jesus' whole point is that if you make your own personal security the main focus of your life's goals, what you'll paradoxically find that it will actually ruin you, destroy you through anxiety, and more than likely, the structures, the system's gonna break, and it won't be there when you need it. That is the irony. When you no longer trust the goodness and the graciousness of God our Father as our host, we develop a scarcity mindset where self-preservation and protectionist mentality impacts and affects and infects everything. Ironically, when we fall into that, and many of us have fallen into that, especially in this crazy times that we are living in, Anxiety doesn't lessen, it actually grows and eventually chokes the life out of you and your loved ones. Jesus sees the world and he sees abundance. He sees someone who loves us and created this world with such potential and life and blessing. We have a choice. We live that out in our lives, or we say from the very beginning, there's not enough. There's not enough. What can I do? There's not enough. Scarcity versus abundance and generosity. And I believe, fourthly and finally, that generosity flows in every opportunity when Jesus is our all-sufficiency. Generosity flows in every opportunity when Jesus is our all-sufficiency. Paul reminds us of this. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also give with him, graciously give us all things? In times of challenge and crisis, our MO is often a default to a scarcity mindset. I'm on my own and I gotta survive. But Jesus modeled for us, taught, and pointed to himself a very different way by which we can live. Paul said that if you have Christ, you have everything. He who gave us his son so generously, would he not graciously give us all things? I love how Paul puts it here in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, right? Proud, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. But this is what I like about this verse, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. When we forget the heart of God and the life that he is offering, we call this the kingdom life, life in the kingdom, life when Jesus is at the throne of our lives. It doesn't mean you're going to be instant millionaires. I'm not preaching that kind of prosperity gospel. But in the midst of the challenges and struggles of our lives, we see and know and believe a God of great abundance that defines the richness of life of knowing him through his son and the richness of community in the kingdom that God is seeking to pour upon our lives if we would trust the generosity, the character of the host rather than what and why is God holding back. Scarcity causes great anxiety in the human heart. And our world is often very, very different. It's an alternate reality to Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom that he preaches and invites us into. When we think about money, possessions, joy, resources, we continually struggle with scarcity. A mindset that there isn't enough, even though your net worth may be more than sufficient, and yet I don't have enough. There isn't enough. I have to take matters into my own hands versus I trust you, God. You are generous and you are good. And so as I end our reflection on this thought and study, as we prepare to approach the Lord's table in the sacrament of Holy Communion, we often in life are given a choice. And so many of us use this metaphor of the cup. Do you look at your life and the opportunity to say, oh, it's half empty, scarcity, or is it half full? And I would like to propose, as I shared earlier, that the gospel is always a third way. It's not to the left or to the right or half empty, half full. And that's Not a bad metaphor and illustration, but I like to see it more like this, that in the kingdom of God, God is generous. And he has poured everything that you and I could even dream or imagine into this world and wants to give it in our lives, a life in the kingdom that is whole, that is abundant, that is joy-filled, that has connections with other people in real loving community. As we serve the needs in our community, as we reach out in boldness, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. This is a proper understanding of God's heart. And in our rebellion, in our fist raising against God, in our scarcity, God is not like us, where he pulls everything back. You get what you want, whatever, but he even pours out more generosity by the sending of his Son. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with them freely gift us all things? The generosity of God as our gracious host and Father and King exposes the heart of humanity that always tends towards scarcity. What is God holding back? Why is my life like this? And we become selfish, we become self-protectionist, we try to build our own Edens with our own trees of life, when God is saying, trust me, I am good and gracious. And if you ever forget that, look to the cross. This is God's response. And two questions and we end. Where do you see the generosity of God in your life, in your family, and world? When was the last time you responded with God, I thank you for your generosity. Forgive me that I have forgotten. And secondly, what are you anxious about in your present situation? May the gospel be the first picture that roots you in the midst of the waves of overwhelming anxiety and pain in your life to reflect on the demonstration of God's goodness in the person of Jesus. Because if you're able to do that, I believe that it will transform us. I believe that as a church community, if we really believe in the generosity of God, that we, not just with financial resources, but with our love, with our care, our attention, we, as we pursue God and his passion for people, will make a great impact for the kingdom of God as we realize that God is a generous God and host. This is what we need. In the disease of the scarcity mindset, fear, and anxiety, may we be overwhelmed once again with the goodness of God found in the person of Jesus. Let's pray together.